chapters in the Bible in Revelation, in Romans 7, Paul says, I don't understand my own actions. I do the things I hate. And he just goes back and forth. You know, in a cartoon, you get an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other, and Paul's like, oh, that was good. I got this thing inside me, it's an internal stuff. And I'm part of it. The angels and demons are getting on each other, but I got this own thing going on inside. I don't understand the rest of it. Sometimes, most of the time. And so there's this picture on Romans Road of us fighting with the sin. Or this internal struggle where even our left hand wants to go left and right hand wants to go right. Or there's these dueling co-pilots where we set out to do something or to develop or improve in some way, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves veering out of alignment again, and off the road. And finally, Paul throws up his hands and says, cool, that's going to be from the body to death. Jesus is the God who gives us our salvation. Jesus has done that to the God of life and God of life to pull us out of this dueling co-pilots. Now we get to chapter 8 this week. And chapter 8 of Romans is, it is hands down one of those verses. You know, if you don't crack your Bible much at home, you're not sure where to start, you can start on page 1 or you can start at the end of the gospel. Start anywhere you want. That wasn't a Romans book. Romans 8 is just a chapter from the end of chapter 8. You've heard the end of chapter 8 a lot, perhaps, we'll get there in 2 or 3 Sundays. This first verse of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Amen. No condemnation. What does this mean? Well, I told you we're going to talk about Steve's back a little bit and the last month. We'll get to that, but I want to kind of open it up a little bit. It's not all about God. There's all kinds of stuff on this Romans road. There's all kinds of things that can catch us up. And Paul, in these 15 verses of Romans 8, and believe me, he's at this wordiness thing. The mid 11 verses are like, okay, I know, 15 verses, let me explain this. But he basically is pointing out three tracks along the road. Three things that we get caught up in. We forget who we are as baptized children of God on this day. We don't have to fight over the Spirit and the Lord because Jesus is going to take over. John chapter 8 talks about life in the Spirit. Why don't we have to fight over the Spirit or be alarmed at our stirring those things in the world? Why don't we have to be alarmed about all the obstacles, food traps, animal crossings, everything else that happens while we're on this road? Why? Looking at our driver's license, wondering if this gives us a license to drive in the city. We can take our eyes away from that, you know, that body of the sun, you know what I'm saying? He's going to help us to ignore that body, keep our eyes fixed on the good ornament of the cross of Christ. But he's going to do this not by saying, well, now you have what it takes. With a little help of grace from God, now you have what it takes to drive straight. He just wants to simply say, you have what it takes. Holy Spirit, we're going to do that in you. You will have life in your own body. The solution is Spirit. Spirit is the one that works. We'll look at that in terms of driving, of course, and we'll look at that when we get into the road. So here's the three traps. The first trap, Paul addresses, is the conduct of the law. He just said this. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The condemnation of the law. You know, a lot of us don't love traffic laws, but we abide by them because we also don't love having our money taken away for tickets or insurance rights. So that's not really fulfilling the law. That's just abiding by the law, not Paul says we are free in Christ from the condemnation of the law. How does this work? Well, Martin Luther, he was a name caller. This is a pretty mild one, but he called some of the opponents that he was writing about. He called some of the opponents pit fuel. What is a pit fuel? He called them pit theologians who believe that we can do the law. We can fulfill it. And if we can't, we just need a little Jesus juice, a little gas from the Holy Spirit, and then we can fulfill the law. Paul says you're thinking like a pig. You can't get out of the mud. You can't fulfill the law. Some of us live, and all of us do in some extent, thinking that, like, okay, maybe I can live this life without getting pulled over. Maybe I can live this life without getting a beer. Of course, all the figurative and metaphorical beer life in Christ. But I also have this teaching suspicion that there's fixed speed cameras at the intersection. And when I get to the end of my life, I stand before the judgment throne, all of a sudden, there's a whole record that I've racked up. And I didn't know it at the time, had I known, Lord, that you looked down on this and this, or you were aware of that, and you saw what I did here. That it's all going to come onto the table there at the end, like a traffic ticket beginning in hell. That's big theology. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Your sin went from the cross on the grave. He left us in his grave. But Paul says, in verse 3 here, God has done with the law weakened by the flesh of sin. Sending his own son. How did we get this spirit? We got the spirit of the son. How did we get the son? The father comes to the son. What does the son come to do? The son doesn't come to fix the law so we can do it. Sometimes we think that the gospel means that God took his law and kind of made it doable. I mean, we can't do that, but it's possible. It's hard in the right way. So just kind of surprise you. Get like 7 or 8 out of 10. But you know how sin works. You know how condemnation, you know how these traps work. You can get pulled over the speeding like I did. I say, if I got pulled over the speeding line, I would worry about something. Didn't have his body. Didn't have anything to lift in his blood box. But I was hiking with my dear wife. And we were hiking Central Butte with most of the year raining and stuff. So, you know, you wear like warm-up pants. You wear like powder. And they just get trapped in the mud. And splash the mud. So what do you do when you're done drinking? And then you put those in the trunk and you just drive home in your underwear. What can happen? Unless you're caught canceled by the cop. Unless you're caught speeding. And the cop comes to the window, takes one look at you, and then moves to the hood, and, you know, gets a different perspective. Now, I'm guilty of speeding, and that's all the cop wants to bring up for. Well, what do I do? What is the guilty cop to do? You start confessing things that you weren't even aware of. I had to explain to him, and I really didn't explain that. I just said, my wife and I were just, that's why I'm canceled. He's like, I didn't ask. It's not the only possible explanation for why you're driving like this. So, but my guilty conscience is trapped in the air. So all of a sudden, it's like one thing led to another, and I'm trying to catch this guy. And finally, because of this great thing, because there is no condemnation in Christ, and because there is no sin, his guilt is going to finally lead us to that faithful confession. Because of that, take a different approach, and we'll just go through this briefly, but the back side of the sermon handout in the bulletin has like a personal devotion that I usually do on Matthew, on the parable here in Matthew 13, about these different kinds of soil. But here's what I want to gather from this. Jesus tells a story about the sower and the seed. It's a really prominent parable for at least two reasons. One, very first parable that is shared in Mark's gospel, and even in Matthew's gospel. And he explains it. I mean, you ever want Jesus to explain things? You know what he does? But in this one, he actually explains it. So, of course, he tells the story of the sower going out to sow seed. And he says, "Lord, please go ahead. Seeds landing on the path, on the rock, on the corner, and in the good soil of the world." And Jesus describes kind of how these different locations that have the seed have a different sort of story to them. The seed that lands on the path is are those people who hear the word, but they don't even have time to right away understand something else. For Jesus, he says this is taking like a bird and snatching away the one that they will burn there. It's a wonderful Matthew teacher. He talks about how calves don't care about food. Calves care about food. He talks about food. Calves are worried about food. So when the seed of God's word lands on the kind of food he's talking about, believing, if you think that people believe in God, or the voice of the people is the voice of the Lord, like a mom in that house, enough people think a certain way and go in a certain direction, that is also the Holy Spirit. The seed falls in the path that's so easily snatched away because it's worried about what impression the second path, or the second soil, is the rock, rocky soil. And this has a great start. This is the impressionable listeners. These are listeners who aren't snatched away in their hearing right away, but these are listeners who receive the joy, what was sown in the soil, and it shoots up, there's life, but there's no root. And the trouble with persecution arises. So, this audience is the people who are in the household. But they're also all in the together among the names, among the girls. preach the difference. I don't know, but most versions will go something like this. Okay, there's four soils. Which one are you right now? And which one is this? And then you try to figure out, how do I make my soil better? How do I turn it off now? How do I get off the path? You know, how do I avoid the thorns? But when Paul says there's no condemnation in Jesus, and he's speaking with clarity, and when Paul says, think about your flesh, think about, what kind of soil am I going to have? Because that's just an illusion. Accepting all kinds of cancers in your life. That when we think well on ourselves, on our flesh, we're not going to find any hope in the future. In the spirit of life, the good soil, Father, I learned this week from Jerry Reed about how to make money. Not the place to have it, but funny how this is. Because Kathy is a maid mom for a corn maid. It turns out, you don't grow a field of corn and then drive your tractor through it like a maid. You hire a company, say there's one in Canada, you hire a company and you look at map out a corn maid, and it's got GPS coordinates for all the twists and turns. You hire a company to come in with a seed drill on a tractor, and it just goes through your field, and it drills the seed into the ground exactly where the max company is going. And it's not on the road, it's a great way to make it. And it's $20 company. No, it's kind of amazing. And here's what I'm thinking about. Christ is not a corn maid. Christ is not a corn maid. He's not planting something like, this law. He's saying, okay, those of you who can make it through this maze and get to the prize at the end, you'll be okay. It's very precise. I know exactly every jot and tittle of this law. Christ is not a corn maid. To the sower, he's got corn maid everywhere. Jesus has scattered all over the world. In fact, when Paul told the Ephesians that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he said he did that so that he might fill all saints. Jesus is everywhere. The seed of Christ is sown everywhere. The places that we will not believe it can grow are the great places. Christ is not building corn maids, he's building, but he's scattering himself in his word all over the place. So at the house of worship, God can be at that place. Yes. I know God can scatter his seed at 9:30 on Sundays in this place. Throughout the ministry of this place and the ministry of these people out in their lives. That's the kind of God we have. Parable of the sower. And he knows no condemnation. Not a parable of the soil. Thank you.